Thank you. Hare Krishna. Shri Nam, would you mind to just come for a second and give me your company here? I had a subject matter in my mind, and then all of a sudden my eyes caught, his good name is Shri Nam, isn't it? Shri Nam. And I saw, when I looked at you, Shri Nam, that the first time I came to New York, I believe is he your uncle or your cousin, or Keshava, who is now here. Are you the uncle or what are you?
Cousin.
Keshava and Govinda, and there was another, Vasudev. They were just the same size. and also the same joyfulness and the same, what children carry, this nice temperament. Only I remember I had never met a gentleman as polite and cultured as Keshava. I always remember that. He would express himself so cultured. He would say, "You are welcome," and things like this, which differed so much from the New York English I had learned from Hari Pashad. That it was very nice. But I really would like, I don't, you're not feeling uncomfortable, Shri Nam, isn't it? It's okay, yes, why? I really would like to maybe ask Keshava, could you just maybe rise and face the audience, just so that we see what we want to see. See, he is now a grown-up man who can wrestle with a tiger. And he was a little while ago just like this little sweet Gopal-like boy. What has made the difference between him and him? This is a very important question. What is that irresistible force which moves every single one of us forward? A force that is so strong that we call this force Krishna. A very realistic force we are looking that has made this difference here. By the way, thank you very much. Thank you very much. When Krishna was asked by Arjuna, "Who are you?" what did he answer? Time. Kalosmi, I'm time. If we know it or not, if we are conscious or not about this, we are all moved by this irresistible force of time, which makes these amazing changes. Really, Keshava looked as, not that he does not look now extremely attractive, but he looked very much like this, like our Shri Nam. And he couldn't exist for a minute without his parents' presence. That I also remembered. When I gave Akuntita and Damodara Swarup Brahman initiation, and I thought, well, these are secret mantras, only the Brahmins can know, then Keshava was just moving before the door. Maybe he was also thinking of Brahmin initiation. But I do remember this very strong bond of a child. Now it is different, and there will be a time when Keshava will be 80, And he will look back at a hopefully very fulfilled life with many stations. And all this happened by Kala. In my little message to all of you, I will talk about something that lives very much in my heart these days. I want to finally turn from a human doing into a human being. In other words, I would like to recognize in my life that I'm not the mover, but I'm the moved. And the moment I'm in that space of knowing that there is the Lord who moves me forward in this life, I lose all anxieties. Oh, will this work out? Will this not work out? Is this good or not? Being in the space where we really understand, live, and love also, that the space where I know I'm actually the moved. I don't have to worry about my movements. That is so relieving. I would like to make you all aware of this very initial understanding that Krishna is there in your life. In fact, you will realize him in your guts in a moment as that mover who moves you gently forward in your life. Because everything, every second is moved by the Lord everywhere and for everyone. And we will do a little, I thought to do a little, maybe not really like a meditation, but you will feel something which will surprise you. So, are you ready? Change, my dear everyone, is happening every moment, if we are conscious of it or not. I would like you to take a moment to feel that truth inside the body, which is your immediate surrounding. You're the soul, you're inside, and you're surrounded by this body. Please close your eyes gently and bring your awareness to your breath. Notice how you are always breathing in and out. Not that you started breathing in and out just now. Before you came here, you were breathing. Before a year, you were breathing in and out. This is a change of breathing pattern happening every single moment. And this breath has its own pace. Are you really breathing? Or are you being braced? Become a little bit more aware and hold your breath now for as long as you comfortably can. Just stop breathing and hold it. And then notice how this feels. Continue breathing in that natural rhythm that is the rhythm of all life, a rhythm that moves you. please keep your eyes closed and notice a few changes in you that are happening due to this form of the Lord, the Kala. Your gut cells are replaced every 2 days, says the medical science. Every 2 days, new intelligent cells. Your skin cells are replaced every 2 weeks. Dry skin falling off or being washed off. Your red blood cells are replaced every few months. Muscles and bones are replaced every 10 to 15 years. Even the DNA cell, your information program, your genetic code, changes its expression based on your life experience. In other words, if you have some type of experiences, your codex changes. My dear devotees and everyone here, friends, on the level of your physical body, you're not the same as you were 10 years ago or 1 month ago. But still, inside of us, we feel that we are the same. Same person is remembering how he saw the little boy Keshava. Keshava can maybe remember when he sees his nephew or whatever it is. Yes, I was once like this, playful. And the beautiful thing is that this self, this invisible soul, is coming truly alive at the moment where we come in touch with our origin. The moment the spark comes into the fire, it begins to grow in size and in energy and heat. That is the moment where you, the real you, come in contact with Krishna. You grow in vibrancy. You grow in deep satisfaction. Your inner light begins to spread throughout your whole being, that only great, great happiness is left in you. Please, for the remainder of this little contemplation exercise, turn to that Krishna who makes you truly alive. Perhaps you want to say a prayer. Perhaps you want to say, sorry that I'm often so unmindful of you and so much lost in these small minds, in my small mind, in my small stories, where there is such a great prospect waiting for me. We will end this meditation by chanting the name of Ram, the one who gives supreme pleasure, Radha Raman. Two more times, please. Take your time to come back to the room awareness. Krishna. This is the reality. These things that are invisible, kala, we can't see it like this. It's a force. It doesn't happen, Kala, in the wristwatch. Wristwatch is copying the passage of time with some mechanical thing, either electric or whatever. These things like the soul, God, Krishna, love, life force, are invisible. Yet, they make up perhaps 98% of my life. Without them, I wouldn't be alive. But unfortunately, especially in this time, we are often so lost in these small 2% of the visible things. When you see me sitting before you, can you see my happiness? You can feel, well, our man is happy to be in New York. You can, but seeing it, can you see my thoughts? Can you see my life? Can you see my aspirations? Can you see my love for Krishna? And also for devotees and so on. No, these are all there. These are there. Oh, you see only little graying hair, and the belly is protruding a little bit more due to old age and so on. But this is not me. I am not I. I'm much more than you see. And that is where the emphasis should go. Or can go in our life. And my dear everyone, I think there is a growing hunger and thirst in all of us as we progress on the spiritual path. In the beginning, we do things in Krishna consciousness, and it's a new discovery for us. Holy name, yes, wow. Prasadam, yes, wow. Devotees, of course they are all pure souls. Wow. You know, we have that enthusiasm, which is described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as the beginner's enthusiasm. But then all of a sudden, perhaps unexpectedly, after 5 years or so, we hit upon some dryness. We go to Pricha Swami and we ask, Pricha Swami, I feel some dryness, some aridity in my heart. What should I do? And Pricha Swami, with his famous sensitivity, will tell to us, yeah, do more of the same things. Chant more attentively, no? Be more humble, huh? And all this, and we try, but the emptiness doesn't leave us. We are even afraid to go to Pricha Swami because sensitive Pricha Swamiji might take out his club. It worked for me. Why not for you? At that time, we go on with our practices dutifully. But if the old dryness doesn't go, we are not having great hope and conviction that that it will work. And we begin to cut our attention on our spiritual practices. Instead, sometimes other things, as our personal devotional career, of course devotional, only devotional career is important. We become so much externally facing that our self-worth we define by our successes, by our likes on Facebook, and so on. However, the dryness doesn't go. And if we are honest with ourselves, we don't believe that it will go so easily. Yes, there are these wonderful festivals and events with sensitive preacher Swamiji organizes, and during that time we feel wow, shoop. But when we leave and look in the mirror and ask ourselves, are you progressing? We put a question mark behind the sentence. We go on, and then at one time, and this happens to many, 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 many of us, we all of a sudden are no longer interested in the God image any longer. We are no longer interested in the extrinsic, the external following of Krishna consciousness. We really only want together. We only want to be together with Krishna. We want those moments when we feel his closeness. We do not always know how this can come about, but we yearn for that only. That becomes the essence. That becomes our motivation. We want to be with God. We want to be with Krishna. So, here's a progress. We may feel, oh, I can't go on like this any longer. Then comes the moment of honesty. I guess I don't even want to go on like that before. And then comes this moment which is so precious. It's the moment where I feel somehow or other I just want to be with Krishna. Sometimes we feel these moments during kirtan. When we just sit there, we look at the deities, and all of a sudden the dimension changes, shoop, and we see, wow, there's Krishna on the altar. Or we have a real good discussion with various devotees, amongst them sensitive preacher Swami, and something just hits us, it all is so true. My dear devotees, this journey of being externally facing in our spiritual life, being a human doing, to becoming a human being who rests in Krishna, just like the spark who rests in the fire. This journey is very important to make for everyone. Mm. Who comes to mind is, you see, I have so much to say that I sometimes need to look at my notes to not get lost in so many other side points, is our Narada Muni. Narada Muni, as you know, left his home in search of the Lord after his mother had actually left the body. At that time, it was very nice to hear, the villagers had come and said, you live on, you live in the home of your parents. The father had left the body already long ago. But Narada Muni just asked that the dead body of his mother be brought in the house, and then he cremated her in the house. The whole house had he put it on fire, signifying, I will no longer be in a house in this material world. And he had gone very determinedly as a young lad to find Krishna, and in a meditation he found Krishna for just a brief moment, and then the Lord disappeared. Narada Muni describes, Didrikshus tata hambuya panidaya manohriti vikshamano pinapasyam avitripta ivatura. I desired to see again the transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view that form again, I could not see him anymore, and thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. Prabhupada writes in the purport about how this effort, this strenuous effort which we do as conditioned souls, the effort in which we are instructed in the beginning of our spiritual life, may not always work. He says, there is no mechanical process to see the form of the Lord. It completely depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. We cannot demand the Lord to be present before our vision. Not even with all your sadhanas, with all your good results, you can't demand and force him. The sun rises out of his own accord, so also the Lord is pleased to be present out of his causeless mercy. And Prabhupada continues a little later, the Lord is completely independent of all obligations. For me, this part of the Bhagavatam spoke. It started maybe 2 years ago, when I was on a holy name retreat, my own private retreat, which I take in a little mud house with walls thick like this. You know, this is the best house in India, because the heat of the sun comes and starts to travel during the day through the thick layer of mud, and then just before it reaches here, from that is the inner side of the wall, from where it would heat up the room, it becomes evening and the heat returns. Cello by and leaves again, so that it's always cool within the mud house. In London, where I speak London English, I say this is my launch pad inside. It is from here where, in my private attempt to feel Krishna's closeness, I start. I get up very early. I'm surprised how early I can get up there. And I chant until the night falls, and the queen of the night, the jasmine that's just growing next to the mud house, is spreading its fragrance. So 2 years ago, my dear devotees, I felt this dryness. I had tried everything which I teach in the Holy Name retreats and many more things, but it did not work. I felt the old dryness becoming louder, and I was desperate. I came to a state where I actually saw I can't maintain my this practice of chanting from early morning to early evening any longer. My mind is running, is unwilling, says there are much more interesting preaching projects now, Mr. Sensitive Preacher. Get out of the mud house. You know, there are many more interesting. And what's about the world of literature? And so on. And then I noticed, I remembered this, there is no mechanical process to see the form of the Lord. And I turned into a human being at that time. I remembered, I'm part of Krishna. Everything is already there. I'm only separated with my illusions, and perhaps even my illusions which are praised in the group of people in which I usually move, that is, that do things, make an effort, make things happening, make projects, collect Lakshmi until you drown in it, you know, and so on. And these are, and oh yeah, your internet is again not good, but a little energy and it's really strong, you know, and so on. Instagram and all these things. I thought, no, I want to just be close to Krishna. And I am actually close to Krishna. And sometimes my emphasis on being the mover, the doer, the one who always strives to become a better version of himself may be absolutely in the way of going there and to that which is already there. And I started to pray for Krishna's mercy. Oh, please, please help me. And you know, when you pray for something deep to Krishna, he will not answer immediately. He will see, is he really serious? Is he praying like this tomorrow also? And in 1 week also? Or has he just read a nifty philosophical part in the books that tries to do this? Is it coming from the heart? Is he real? And yes, I had to pray because I was desperate. I wanted to maintain this sadhana which is so dear to me and to which I owe many, many, many realizations, but I couldn't on my own strength. And after some time, I must say, many wonderful things happened, so that I am now in a new phase of my spiritual life, and I am very I don't know. It's just, I'm just so happy. I without a reason, without any external validation or successes, and the preaching goes on very nicely, but with another basis, and dare I say, without anxiety and worries. Because the moment you think you are the doer, the mover, the achiever, that moment Krishna says, okay, try, and you are alone. The moment you come into the space of the spiritual reality, you are in best company. Yes. So Narada Muni, let me just see here, could see there is no mechanical process. And the Lord confirmed his understanding. He said, I regret, Narada, that in this life you will not see me. Those who are incomplete in seva and immature and not free from material taints, can't see me. This is really encouraging. This should be so. So I should talk in one talk. This is really discouraging, you could say. But Krishna had a secret for Narada Muni. He said, listen, I showed myself once to you just to increase your desire for me. The more one hankers for me, the more he will be freed from material desires. This is the secret of bhakti. You hanker for Krishna. You say, I want to be with you. Exactly how, I don't know, but you can make it possible. No? This longing is in Sanskrit called vipralamba. Vipralamba means, Vasudev is here, I hope he will not find this pleasure with me, my attempts to say something. Alambana means to achieve, and vipra means that which is in the distance. By this feeling of longing, which is based on a realization, I'm now separated from you, one achieves him who is in the distance to the material conditioned soul, in Krishna. If you can come into the simple, very straightforward, very heart-based feeling, devotional heart-based feelings. I want to be with you, my Lord. Then the Lord is there, right there. Yes, we spoke about this in detail a little while ago. And then Narada Muni thought, okay, how can I long to be with Krishna, how do I do this? And his method is very endearing. He took to the chanting of the holy name, but not absent-minded, not by rote, not because that's chic to do. He took it with a feeling of longing. My Lord, I want to come to you. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are benedictory. So doing, I traveled all over the world, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious. He was in the being mode. He was together with Krishna in through feelings of separation, and that satisfied him. That made him conquer the false ego easily. He was humble, and he was not disturbed about the successes of others. He was totally non-envious. And Narada Muni says it's personally experienced by me. Personally experienced. He speaks not some philosophy which is somewhere light years away from my experience. No, it's personally experienced by me that those who are full of cares and anxieties, can cross the ocean of nations on a most suitable boat, the constant chanting of the transcendental activities and glories of the personality of Godhead. My dear devotees, what do I say? Do I say, like all my lectures, just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol? No, if you have heard this, you have not heard me. I'm saying, we need to come to a place in our life, a sanctified place, which is there within all of our hearts. It's where we exist, the real we and the soul. And doing this, you come away from the doing mode, the moving mode, the achiever mood, you come to the real being yourself. In spiritual literature, actually I can give the source, Teresa of Avila. Can you bring me the quote? Teresa of Avila, famous Spanish mystic, she spoke about this in a very, very clear way. By the way, Teresa of Avila had a darshan of Krishna. I know you don't believe me, therefore I will quote her. It's surprising. Who of you knows Teresa of Avila? Keshava? Not yet. She is a lady from a good house who, when her parents wanted her to be married, understood that's not for me. And she went and she wanted to meet the eternal bride, the Lord Jesus. At that time, the church was compromised. They were hankering for material things, wealth, and so on. And she went to a very unknown order of the Carmelites and underwent a very, very deep process of inner transformation. And as a result, wrote many important books. One of her concepts, you and everyone will have heard, the dark night of the soul, no? Where you just don't know any longer. And she writes in her book, The Accounts of Conscience, that's in August 9th, 1575. So get ready for some old language here. She wrote about an incredible vision that she had. Suddenly, a recollection came to me with such a great interior light that I seemed to be in another world. And my spirit found itself within itself. So she's now in the place of the soul, no? And I found myself in a very delightful forest and orchard, so much so that it made me remember what is said in the Song of Songs, Venia delectus meus in hortum sum. Come he, come my beloved, to his garden and eat its delicate fruits. Okay, so she sees a garden with beautiful trees, and she sees it in a spiritual vision. And there I saw in this Elysio, that's a delightful place where great souls go. I saw there a blackish youth with a strange beauty. On top of his head, he had something like a garland, not a crown, of great stones, and many maidens who walked there with him, with bouquets in their hands, all singing praises to God. I did nothing but open my eyes so as not to be distracted, and it was not possible for me to take my attention of it. There was a music of angels and singing of birds, which the soul enjoyed, although I did not hear it with my physical ears, but the soul was in that delight. I looked as there was no other man there. You know, Krishna is the only Purusha. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Rami Govindam Adi Purusham Tamam Rami. This lasted for more than an hour and a half. That's a japa period. This lasted for more than an hour and a half, that I could not take my eyes off or my attention, and with great delight, something different from other visions. And what I got from there was more love for God and keeping him more deeply present with that beauty. It is not possible that this was in imagination. That's how she ends. If you want to have this document, I've shared it with Gauravani via poem lovers. You can ask Gaur Krishna to give it to you. So, in what state did she have this realization? If we read her literature, she speaks of two types of spiritual endeavor. One, the one which gives limited results, and second, the one which gives unlimited results. She speaks of the heart as a garden, much like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks of, putting the seed of bhakti in the garden of the heart. And she says our own endeavors resemble that of a gardener who draws a bucket of water from a deep well and then irrigates the garden. It's a tiring process, and the muscles begin to hurt, and the arms sink in the gravitational way after some time. There's a second process, and that is when the mercy of the Lord comes, and she uses an example which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses in Madhurya Kadambini, a cloud bank which suddenly burst open and then irrigates the field of the heart, but not just a little, but floods it with good nourishing water that all kinds of growth can take place. So while it is important to endeavor and to endeavor more, it is also important to understand the difference between a human doing and a human being. It is also important to rest in that simple God consciousness. And in the end of my little presentation, I would like to give you a few examples how this can be. The mistake would be how this can be done. How can we prepare ourselves that the rainfall comes. How can we receive the rainfall and not stand in the metro at that time where the water doesn't get me? I would like to say the best place to become a receiver of the gift of divine grace is in the sangha of devotees who are singing the holy name in a worshipful attitude. Because Krishna doesn't keep himself away for long from this sangha. He says to Narada Muni, I'm not in the heart of the mystic yogis. They endeavor very hard with meditation. I'm not even in Vaikuntha, where some of my devotees wish to reach through their sadhana. I am there where my devotees sit together and chant the holy name. Mat bhakta tatra gayanti. Shouting the holy name without any sense of connection is not qualifying for sankirtan. But chanting with like-minded devotees in a worshipful attitude together is a place where divine revelation happens. That's the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri would not go alone to take the darshan of Lord Jagannath. He would always stand next to a great devotee. Who? Garuda. Yes, Garuda. Because he thought, the Lord will look towards Garuda and then I'm just next to Garuda and his eyes will fall upon me. We have seen this, that in the sangha of devotees, I saw a few days ago an elderly gentleman from the island of Long Island behaving in unorthodox ways, dancing like a young ballet dancer and making movements of clearly unorthodox origins and so on, because it attracts the kirtan done in like-minded sangha who want to worship Krishna, want to serve the Lord, attracts the Lord. The Lord can't keep himself very far away, and then you can feel his presence. You can feel his presence by feeling blissful and feeling actually able to cross the very hard borders of your false ego. No, you can leave your inner blockages behind, not by your own strengths, but by the electrifying atmosphere of the Lord's presence. It's very important to say, do you know how, according to some narrations, how the holy name came to this world? I will tell you. I just read it, so I have an answer to this question. Once Srimati Radharani prepared the meeting place where she would receive Krishna, she felt in the mood of a very young bride who was decorating the room with flowers, with fragrant substances, and had a dress to give the Lord pleasure, but Krishna didn't come. The evening proceeded, and Radha's eager feelings of anticipation turned into anxious waiting, and as she went further down the road of waiting and eagerly wanting Krishna to come, she merged in the feelings of separation until finally she lost her consciousness. Her girl companions tried everything to bring her back to life, but it was not possible. All of a sudden, however, her heart began to move in another rhythm. And as the movement continued and grew in intensity, a sound came from her lips, from the heart to the lips. And those who were very close could hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yes, it grew in intensity, in volume, and at that time her little servants, the Manjaris, began to... They had gone out to find Krishna. They found Krishna at exactly that moment. He had been sidetracked by others of his dear devotees and could not escape their loving pleading to be with them. But then when the Manjari found Krishna, because she had been in Radha's presence, her garments emanated the scent of Srimati Radharani's body. It came into Krishna's nostril and he became highly moved and quickly excused himself and went to the Manjari and said, "Where's Radha? You do not deserve to see her," said the little Manjari. "Ah, don't say this," said Krishna. I couldn't. I have obligations to all my devotees." "You are a cheater," said the Manjari. Because the Manjari was close to Radha, she could chastise the Almighty Lord. "I know I don't have a good character," said Krishna. "But now bring me to Radha." And, what will you do, Syama, if I bring you to Radha?" So the Manjari said, Krishna said, "I will be very faithful from that day on." "Syam, you are Syam," said the Manjari. "Did you come now?" And she brought Krishna to Radharani. My point is, this is how the holy name came. It came from the dearmost devotees of the Lord, chanting, but with a feeling of longing, a feeling of yearning, a feeling of desiring to be with the Lord. If you do kirtan like this in the association of proper devotees, then you will attract Krishna to come like Krishna came at that time. My next thing is, tune your body to do devotional acts. This concept is a very nice concept. I will show you with this instrument which we hope to activate. I can put different tonalities here, and there is also, if it's an expensive ragini, a fine tuning thing. It's not necessary to show this, and I can find a pitch which is just proper for the melody. Tuning our body and our lives is also an attempt to find a pitch in our life, some devotional activity, some devotion, some expression of devotion. Activity here is an expression of devotion, right? That will attract Krishna. Some of us may not have tuned in our life to a place where we are enthusiastic. I do know from our from discussions with a few kirtaniyas, that they feel by Krishna's mercy it was given to them that they could tune themselves in, or they will sing and dance for Krishna. Find also your tune. Maybe it's not kirtan. Maybe it's cleaning a spiritual place. Maybe it is counseling devotees. Tune yourself into something that you can do lovingly, like a good sitar player tunes the sitar in a way that it can play very nicely. How nicely do you play Yashodhara Dulale at the moment? No need to public answer. No, it's a good question. It's meant to be answered in silence, in private. No? Have you found the right pitch in your life? Very important. Sometimes it's not only one pitch, it's a few pitches. C, A sharp, and so on. But it should be something. We should fine-tune our life. And it should come always from the place of being. Today, we remembered Keshava Maharaj, who has said, "You were born an original, don't die as a copy." No, it must be our expression of devotion to Krishna, which we can render wholeheartedly. Just like, you know, I personally like to dance. I don't dance any longer so much in the association of devotees, because they all have these mobile distraction machines, and then they will make movies on the what is a video function, and then that disturbs the whole devotional atmosphere. It's not meant for others; it's for Krishna. But when no one is there and sees me, I sometimes dance for Krishna in my room, in Gaura Bhavan, where no mobile movies can be made, and also my people who are with me, they don't see me, because it's for Krishna. Tune your body, tune what you have to give pleasure to Krishna. And dancing, if you really dance, you dance and then let go. As long as you still think, "Oh, hopefully someone makes a movie of me, or hopefully someone sees my very, very nifty movement. I know branch dancing. Everyone look how nice I do it." Then you are still blocked. But when you let go of the false ego and you dance for Krishna, then it's proper dancing, and the Lord will know, and you will know also. So this is very important to let go. And that happens when you tune yourself into your tune, something you can do. And the most important thing is to become more mindful of Krishna. During the day, you need to just practice it. You can read. I have seen two sisters in New Vrindavan, I've seen with my own eyes. They are talking about Krishna with each other. Very nice. Very nice. I think every one of us can learn to be more mindful of Krishna and speechful of Krishna. I was once and I will end here, and then I will guide you in an active exercise, which I request you to do. I was, you know, we had a group called Hare Krishna Festival in the old days. We had a wonderful sound system. Actually, all the musicians knew we had the best sound system. So we rented it also out, because we needed to pay for it. And we did these Hare Krishna festivals, and Srila Prabhupada heard about it. When he was in London, we could invite him to come to Stockholm to be there for Hare Krishna festival. So we did one in Stockholm town and filled a large hall, and Prabhupada was, he had come on the stage, and then he had sung one bhajan, you know, it was at the end of the musical part. And then we said to Prabhupada, now it's time for the lecture, Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't want to give the lecture. He said, I sing another song. And then he sang Chintamani Prakara Satmasu and explained so beautifully spirit to word. But then he went into a lecture. And during the lecture, I was I was self-proclaimed Vishnu Tattva guardian. We had developed a new sweet. It was a speculation, but it was really tasty. And we called that Vishnu Tattva, that sweet. And everyone who had a tongue amongst the devotees wanted that sweet. So I was the official Vishnu Tattva guardian, and I had already a plan. I had somehow managed a good portion with some. Somehow I had separated it from the rest and had put it into. Anyway, so I was just waiting until the lecture is over, and then I would leave the Vishnu Tattva to someone else and go with my own Vishnu Tattva and to the park. So this was, I was young and immature and foolish, like, oh yeah, anyway. So then all of a sudden, I begin to listen to the lecture. Prabhupada said, even if you are a drunkard, you can also become a great yogi. I never had heard Prabhupada speak like this. Because next to the Vishnu Tattvas, there were about 100 or so drunkards leaning against the wall. They were resting. They had known at the end of the lecture, when the old man stopped, there would be a feast. And they had come for that purpose. They were extremely purpose-oriented. I was also there to guard the Vishnu Tattva from them. So Prabhupada addressed them. Even if you're a drunkard, in Sweden a lot of people living on social welfare, you, it's much easier than to earn a lot of money and be taxed like anything by the Swedish government. It's welfare state. So even if you're a drunkard, I was not a drunkard, but I was interested in the subject. And I went like this to the drunkard. Even if you are a drunkard, you can also become a great yogi if you just meditate. The taste in the liquor, that is Krishna. Usually, the verse goes, the taste of water, that is Krishna. But water is a liquid, and so is liquor. So some Sanskrit bridging brings you to this statement. Prabhupada was thinking, somehow or other become mindful of Krishna. So I request you now to turn to your neighbor. Something will come. Please, everyone, find a neighbor. Keshava, you have found a neighbor. Yes. Saranani, you have a neighbor? Yes, he's a philosopher. Ananda Vihari, you found a neighbor. Yeah?
Can we go to our
turn? No, you need to find a neighbor. afterwards, yes. No, there is some surprises coming, therefore. My dear listeners, how could you come more to a place of being in your life where you're mindful with Krishna? Remember, the place of being is most developed when you as a soul are in contact with Krishna. No? When the spark, Siddhartha, comes into the fire, it glows. On a daily basis, how could you put yourself into such a situation? How can you remember Krishna, for instance, when you go through New York? I always see the yellow caps, is it caps or taxis, and I think, Krishna's dhoti, you know. That's a very nice, quick memory of Krishna. So, but you may not be so childlike as me. You may have other forms of being more mindful of Krishna. If I can ask you for one thing, be real. Real ways in which you can become more mindful of Krishna and then act from a place of being. Is it a good question? I'm sorry, we come from Europe. We always try to think. Little humor. Little humor. I know you think I need to provoke you a little bit. Okay, start now.
Thank you. much to count, but it attracts. It's called a resource caravan. More of it. Counting this. Yeah. But nice to see you. And really, it is up to me. I would request you to. I would lock myself up in your room and read all the books. I have also this intellectual curiosity.
Good. Was it useful for you?
Yes.
You will. The whole idea is to come to this platform of just resting in the perfect place is possible for us in the vicinity of Krishna, no? And. I want to tell you, just like all of us, my life is not always, there are external challenges, of course, how could it be different? Projects don't work the way we wish them to work, the own body doesn't work, the mind doesn't work, you know. Life is what happens to us while we make other plans, you know. It happens the way it happens. But what I have learned is the simple process where I go back, I become an observer of my little world, almost like a video camera, without judgment, just noticing. And I then connect with myself as the eternal soul, which is full of divine light because it is a part of the Supreme Soul. Then I turn to the Lord, and from there I look back into the world, almost like I look at the advertisement when I come to New York. I see it, but I don't become involved in it. No? And I'm happy of resting in the perfect place. I really think, you know, I'm taking this from Prabhupada's last instruction to me when we were physically together. He said, first of all, you must understand that life is eternal. You know, and not be drawn in, pulled in, and outbalanced in the many things which happen outside. And you know, when you change the way you see things, the things change. It is. I can't explain to you how it is. I mean, of course, we have lots of philosophy. We can explain anything which we want. But it remains still something which the human reason cannot absolutely grasp, that as you perceive your perspective coming from that deeper place within, the world which you look at, your environment, your circumstances, change. I have even seen things like difficult relationships. It just has happened today again. There was someone whom I very much carry in my heart, but he had not answered to my emails any longer, and I thought I really didn't know what could be the cause, and I had just said, okay, yes, let me not now become totally panic-stricken. Let me go. I'm an eternal soul. We are anyways moving through. He and me are moving through on our way. I prayed for it from this relationship. The next moment is I hear he wants to come to a program celebrate. You know, it changes. Therefore, I think the best way is come from the human achiever into the devotional receiver, something like that, from the human doing to the human being. And it's so relieving. Ah, you don't have to always work on your own steam and try to bend the world into a shape which is just your ideal version of the world. And the world never does you the favor. You're just there. This is very, very nice. And you please try to tune yourself into this thing. It is, I expressed it in the simple terms, but it is something you need to practice, like your memory. Or like, see, our Dayaguranga writes these beautiful sayings, pieces of art, each single one of them. And I think it is a lot of meditation which goes into some of them, isn't it? Or do they just come? Both. Yeah, both. Yes. And it's writing is, for instance, also, it's fine-tuning. When you have the inspiration, then you still may have to fine-tune everything. Or, yes, sometimes, I know that's the creative process, bang, it's there in its entirety. And you know, thank you, that was not me. You know, like, isn't it? It was given. Yeah, good. I thought now we have a young artist, singer, of cosmic proportions amongst us. It's our Gorangi, And I don't know, they said they would perform something. It's 2 minutes, let us hear. What will you sing, Gaurangi? Gurudev. Oh.